This is part one of a previously recorded two-part Live and Local interview. It's time for another installment of Live and Local. From the studios at 33rd and Burt, I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you for joining me today. Well, since 1990, the Women's Fund of Omaha has provided more than $59 million in grants to programs working on addressing the most crucial issues as identified by the research they do. And they've just come out with a new report. It's called Unequal Plains, Examining the Gender Gap in Nebraska. The executive director of the Women's Fund of Omaha is Jo Giles, and she's my guest today on Live and Local. Jo, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Mike.
I want to delve into this report, but before we do, I want to make something abundantly clear about other things the Women's Fund of Omaha does, because, you know, with this discussion, it could sound like, oh, okay, you know, they're a think tank and they're doing research. But, you know, there's so much that goes into addressing domestic violence and addressing other women's issues. Can you kind of give us the list of chores that the Women's Fund of Omaha does to help improve the lives of women?
Oh, sure. You know, as you mentioned, we've been doing this work for now our 36th year, and we use research to illuminate what the issues are in our community that impact women and girls. And then we do grant making. We partner with community organizations that are, for example, crisis organizations for domestic violence and sexual assault. And we partner with them, we fund them, and we understand what some of the other issues are impacting survivors of domestic violence. And then we work to change the systems and laws that would make it better for women and others that experience gender-based oppression throughout our community and even our state. So we do that through our grant making with Freedom from Violence work. We do that with our sexual health literacy work, trying to reduce barriers to access and information for reproductive health care products. We also focus on economic security, and our research that we're going to be talking about today connects to that. We want a community where everyone has the opportunity to thrive, and economic security is a huge part of that. And we do that through advocacy and ballot initiative work. And then we also have a women in leadership program where we are intentionally pouring into community leaders and hoping that they can not only develop those skills, but be in partnership with like-minded women across our community to make the change that we want to see happen in our world.
Outstanding. Unequal Plains, Examining the Gender Gap in Nebraska. What is the basic thesis behind this report?
The basis of the report is we are often having conversations across our state about how do we grow our workforce? How do we encourage businesses to come to our state? How do we ensure that we are meeting the demands of young people and we don't have brain drain? And what we're seeing is that oftentimes when we're having those conversations, it's missing a piece. We're not digging into the data to see how this impacts women and women of color. So this report looks at our workforce through a gendered lens. And one of the things we found is that true to our Midwestern values of hard work, women in Nebraska have the third highest employment rate compared to other states, which means women in Nebraska are outpacing men in higher levels of former education, but we still see that there is a gender gap in our state.
Why is that? why are people not being paid, specifically women, not being paid at a level that is indicative and reflective of the education and experience they bring to a specific job position? What has happened here?
It's a great question and really frustrating for a lot of us who are impacted by that. It's a variety of things. I think in the past, there has been this idea that it's individual based. Well, it's just if women would get a high school diploma, maybe they should go on to higher education and get a degree and choose work in a highly skilled environment or industry. And what we see is that women have done all of those things as individuals, and yet this gap persists because it's a systemic issue, not always an individual one. So there are various components of that. One is the fact that sometimes work that women do is devalued. So if you think about women who are working in maybe a retail or restaurant or in education or even in construction, those jobs are not paying the same amount for women as it is for men. But we took the data a step further. We also looked at if you were to compare men versus women in every single category, such as the same number of children, the same years of experience, working full-time versus part-time.
Join me tomorrow for the conclusion of this Live and Local interview at 7:44 a.m. and 3:44 p.m. on 91.5 FM. This is the conclusion of a two-part Live and Local interview with Joe Giles, Executive Director of the Women's Fund of Omaha. I'm your host, Mike Hogan. In part one, we discussed what the Women's Fund of Omaha does, and then we moved into a brand new report that they have just released called Unequal Plains, examining the gender gap in Nebraska. Joe was explaining that women in Nebraska experience quite a pay gap as compared to men in Nebraska. So I asked her, why is that? why are people not being paid, specifically women, at a level that is indicative and reflective of the education and experience they bring to a specific job position? What has happened here?
It's a great question and really frustrating for a lot of us who are impacted by that. It's a variety of things. In the past, there has been this idea that it's individual based. Well, it's just if women would get a high school diploma, maybe they should go on to higher education and get a degree and choose work in a highly skilled industry. And what we see is that women have done all of those things as individuals, and yet this gap persists because it's a systemic issue. So there are various components of that. One is the fact that sometimes work that women do is devalued. So if you think about women who are working in maybe a retail or restaurant or in education or even in construction, those jobs are not paying the same amount for women as it is for men. But we took the data a step further. We also looked at if you were to compare men versus women in every single category, such as the same number of children, the same years of experience, working full-time versus part-time, rural versus urban, same education level, in every single category, in every single industry, women are still making less than men in Nebraska.
Well, that's not helpful. There were some other facts and figures that came out of this report. Women facing a higher housing burden with an average cost that is approximately 19% more than men's. Why are women specifically paying more for housing than men are?
We think that statistic is directly related to the number of people in the household. Since women tend to have children in the home with them, or perhaps other relatives, they need a larger space. And so the rent or the mortgage is going to be more for more people in this home.
One in three insured women in Nebraska have publicly provided health insurance, such as Medicaid or Medicare. And yet, many are struggling to afford or even access the care they need. Well, if they've got the insurance or this coverage of Medicare or Medicaid, where's the disconnect?
The disconnect here is that there are more women that are experiencing poverty, that are at the poverty level or near the poverty level. So part of our research looked at two things. We worked with University of Nebraska at Omaha and their Center for Public Affairs Research. And then we talked with women across our state, nearly 100 women, and ask them, what does their economic future look like right now? And some of the things that people shared with us was that despite the fact that they had access to public dollars through Medicaid or Medicare, they were still facing economic security because they weren't allowed to work a certain number of hours. And if they work a certain number of hours more, or if they get a certain percentage more as a raise, it then pushes them off of the ability to have some additional support. So if they have a disability, they might lose their coverage. So it just adds on to what we need to be looking at and talking about in our state to make sure everyone can thrive.
What can be done to correct this?
Well, some of it is the conversation we're having now. We have this report. We encourage people to go to our website at omahawomensfund.org, and you can read the executive summary. It has 6 key findings, and then the full report has a lot of additional detail in terms of the housing burden, the caregiving burden, what it looks like moving forward. So having the conversation, helping our policymakers see that there are other options. If we close the pay gap in Nebraska, we just paid all women who work 16 and up, that 60% of our state budget shortfall would be covered if we just close the pay gap.
Oh, sure. Due to the taxes paid in, right?
Mm-hmm. So we need to be having these questions. We need to be talking with our business leaders, our community leaders, and we also have to continue our involvement in ballot initiative work to strengthen the processes and the systems so that it works for everyone in our state.
The new report is called Unequal Plains, Examining the Gender Gap in Nebraska. It is available for free at the omahawomensfund.org. The executive director of the Women's Fund of Omaha is Joe Giles. Joe, thank you so much for all the great work you do and the research you continue to do to improve the lives, quite frankly, of all Nebraskans.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure talking to you today.